You recall from the gospel last week that upon the birth of Jesus, a new star arose in the sky, and wise men who lived in the east saw that star. It led them to the place of Jesus' birth, and when they arrived, they stopped in for a visit with Herod, who was the king, and asked him, "Where is this king of the Jews who has been born? For we saw his star at its rising." Herod was quite surprised by this news, and he asked the wise men that when they found the child, that they might come back and tell him where they found the child so he too could go and pay his respects to this newborn king. They went and found the child, but they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and so they left by another road. Hear now the continuing story from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, "Get up now and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to seek for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and fled to Egypt and stayed there until Herod's death. This was to fulfill what was written in the prophet Hosea, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." Now when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. He sent and killed all of the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based upon the time of the rising of the star that he had heard from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they are no more. Now when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in the land of Egypt in a dream and said to him, "Get up now, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. So he went to the land of Galilee, and he settled in a town called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was written in the prophets, that he might be called a Nazarene. This somehow is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I invite the young people to join Kathy out in the comfy chairs. She's got a lovely children's story about a dog called Unlovable and an accompanying Bible story. They were young and lovely, vibrant, with their whole lives ahead of them. And they were wiped out because someone felt threatened. There was weeping and loud lamentation. We hear these words in this gospel story, and somehow, you know, our lives go on. We hear them, they alight on our ears, and then they're gone. But can you imagine the grief of a city? The families devastated at the death of every child under the age of 2. They were lovely and innocent, vibrant and full of life, their whole lives ahead of them, and they were wiped out because someone felt threatened. Those 176 that died in that airline crash. We're in the middle of vigils across Canada, recalling their lives, trying to get ourselves in touch with such a tragedy. She was young and beautiful and lovely and innocent. And Brittany McGinnis died because somebody felt threatened. This week we marked the 10th anniversary of her murder in her home by her stepfather because he felt threatened. See, the murder of the innocents didn't just happen then. It happens again and again and again and again and again. Feeling threatened somehow begets lies and secrecy and covert action. And people trying to cover up their misdeeds. I don't know if you remember Iran earlier this week. No, we didn't do it. The media's lying. Or Brittany's stepfather. I don't know what happened. I don't know where she is. You know, our texts, mostly in worship, we celebrate the goodness of God. In fact, our Psalms of Lamentation have almost completely been stripped from our worship. As if death and murder and lies and conceit and cover-up are not part of our life, but they are. But they are. And in this place, we vowed one thing when we came, to tell the truth. Well, maybe two things, to tell the truth and to throw ourselves on the mercy of God. 10 years ago, as this community suffered together, it did some amazing things, among which was to dedicate this bench to Brittany's memory, which reads, the light's kind of bad here, a tiny flower lent not given, a bud on earth and bloom in heaven. Lots of you in this room didn't know Brittany. There's a lot of building of this congregation that happened after her death. But her life and her death and this story of the innocent being murdered is part of our life together. And we would not be good people of God if we did not commemorate this event. Not because we want to see it repeated, but because it tells the truth about human life. All of us at some time or another feel threatened. All of us have thoughts of doing things that are not quite right, somewhere on the scale from not quite right to all the way downright evil. And we're called as a people of God to tell the truth, to bring light to our brokenness, to confess our sins, and to commemorate all of those who fall victim to those who don't do those things. The scriptures very, very clearly say in Jesus' teaching that we are called to be light for the world. We are called to pray, the text says, for our enemies. I think this is not helpful language. We are called to pray for those who walk in darkness. We're called to pray for those who do evil things and try to cover it up. We're called. To acts of kindness and remembrance. We're called to the font of life, to the table that nourishes us, to the healing oil that repairs us. And so we begin. We begin now with a time for you to hold vigil. So there are candles on either side of the altar. A time for you to pray. So I invite Pastor Bill and Wendy to this circle of prayer, and Diane and Gates Forche to this circle of prayer. If you would like to pray with someone, they'll be here for you during this time. We invite you to receive anointing with oil, balm for your soul. Pastor Phil will have the oil of thyme, which is the oil of bravery, and I will have the oil of gladness. The Bible tells us that the oil of gladness was anointed upon those who are heartbroken, who can see no hope for their future. That oil is a promise that God is at work to bring good. And you are also invited to an act of remembrance. At the back of the main aisle of the sanctuary, there are 4 dozen roses. You are invited to take a rose and come and lay it on Brittany's bench. Remember the innocent who've died at the hand of treachery. Remember their loveliness, their vibrancy, their life, the gift of God that they are. Sometimes the lovely die at the treachery that happens inside their own mind. They die at their own hand. Remember them as well. But as you come forward, I ask that you would get up and move to the side aisles and come to down the center, wherever you head after you come up here. It's your choice. You can do some of it or all of it. But I ask you to do that because as God's people, we ought come to the font, to the light of life, and then proceed with the ways we are called to respond. So come now, this time is for you.